It is Bronze and Modern Gods bonus episode time. I'm John.
I'm Richard.
Oh, you want to introduce yourself?
I'll introduce myself, damn it.
Mr. Big Pants. Hey, bonus episode means we get your answer. We get answers to your questions. Yeah, we get questions to us. We answer them. That's the way it works, right?
Right.
And first, though, follow us at Facebook and Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods. Why don't you do that for us? If you like our videos, please hit like. If you want to subscribe, you can do that as well. And leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. But first, we have breaking news. All right, Richard, we just talked about this on Monday's episode where we're talking about organizing your collection. And your recommendation was that everybody use CLZ because it's great software and it's integrated with GoCollect so you can get values for your books. And then what happened?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure. We talked about it before the show. I think I forgot to mention it during the show. But yeah, CLZ is, in my opinion, the premier app on iOS and Android for recording your comic book collection. Back in 2019, they established a relationship with GoCollect to use their data for pricing and to simulate it with their information on your books so you could see up-to-date pricing and values for your comics. And frankly, I think they became the de facto standard for people trying to keep track of books when you go out for to a convention, or you're just looking to fill a range of books. You can see what, you know, the books are there available. That's there. But most importantly, that integration with GoCollect gave you instant and up-to-date pricing, at least pricing according to GoCollect. And you could see the total of what your collection was worth. You could see the changes on a daily basis for the books. It was a really, really nice integration. And I think a lot of people who are speculating on books use it to keep track of and find those books that were trending. Well, I woke up this morning. Well, let me back up a little bit. Since September 23rd, the data from CLZ, that they get from GoCollect hadn't been updating. You go to the app every day, you hit the button to update, and nothing happens. We got an email from them a week ago or so saying that there is an issue because GoCollect was updating their website, which they did. The website is an improvement over the old website. I'll say that much. And because of that update, they were not ready to ship the data to the app, you know, based on the new website. So they said give them 3 or 4 weeks to be able to get that resolved. Well, this morning I wake up to an email from CLZ saying that the relationship that they've had with GoCollect since 2019 has been terminated.
Ooh.
It seems that they have been working under a kind of a gentleman's agreement with GoCollect saying, we don't have an API, an official API, commercial API to offer you our data. We have an unofficial one that we'll let you use for free until we can establish that third-party relationship licensing. And that stretched on forever and ever until finally they came back and said, you know what, we're not going to do a third-party license. Eventually, we're going to offer a free API for people to get information. But for now, you're not going to be able to get this data. And CLZ made the decision that they can't wait forever. And it was a disservice to their customers. And so they just ended the relationship. And at this point, the data in your app, if you pull data for comic books, that data will stay. Mm. But if you add new comic books and give them a grade, they won't automatically get the GoCollect pricing update in the app. And so I think it's pretty significant.
So the data that stays will never be updated past September 2021.
Correct.
So if you're a dealer and you use CLZ, please do not update the app and shows and price your books according to that in the next 5 years, please. Thank you.
Yes. Or go to Overstreet and update the prices to match. Oh, what's in Overstreet.
There you go. Overstreet. An API.
So the long and the short of it is if you use the CLZ app to keep track of your comic book collection, that still works. What you're losing is the values of those books in your collection won't automatically update over time anymore. So what you're stuck with is, as John said, the price from September 23rd. So it's to me, it's a big blow for people who are speculating and people who just who use that updated pricing to kind of, like I said, find those valuable books in the dollar bins and what have you.
When I used it, I never looked at the pricing. I just used maybe because I wasn't as aggressively selling and stuff then. Who knows? It's been so long since I used it. It's been a few years. But this is not the only piece of breaking news that happened the last couple of days. You know, with all our frustrations over CGC, the alternative was CBCS, who announced price hikes today.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to actually drill down to see what the price hikes were. Did you see them?
I'm going to put them up on the screen right now. Read them and weep.
So CBCS has an opportunity to take advantage of the lag that CGC has. And I don't think raising your prices is the best way of taking advantage of the opportunity.
Maybe. I don't know. We haven't had Steve Borak on the show. We should do that. Maybe they have been swamped with people that are, you know, now using them, and they have to hire up and get some more people. And the only way to justify that is to get some price increases to get that headcount up. I do not know, but it was just interesting to see. I don't know when the last time they raised their prices. Maybe it's way overdue. Inflation is a real thing, folks.
It is. And, you know, the market for labor right now is pretty tight, and maybe they needed to raise the bar to be able to get quality people. So you're right. You know, we don't know the specifics of it. We saw a price increase from CGC this past year, so it seems to be par for the course.
We know plastic is more expensive.
Yeah.
That's a big component of this business. Yep. So if you can't get Mylars because of shipping issues and inflation, it only makes sense that these slabs are going to go up as well.
Right.
It's a bummer, but what can you do?
Yeah. If you're going to raise your price, improve your label, please.
I've given up. I'm not even going to mention the label design. I'll let you guys handle that in the comments. Speaking of comments, it's time for everyone's favorite segment on Fridays, viewer mail.
You've got mail.
First piece of viewer mail comes from Silver Age Sage. I love that name. I've been collecting since the early 90s and have arranged and rearranged my collection countless times. And the thing that I've learned is the more you fuss with your collection, the more likely you're to damage them. For several years before the pandemic, I would have had all my comics organized alphabetically. Whenever I'd buy a bunch of comics that begin with the letter A, I had to move all my comics from one box to the next and down. Yeah, me too. I would occasionally drop a comic, nick it on the way back in, get tape stuck, etc. Now I have everything organized so that I will not have to shuffle my comics too much. Well, that's a very good point. I'm not going to get into your whole organization routine. Go look at Monday's episode and you'll see the rest of this comment. But Silver Age Sage does make a great point, especially when you have, like I have, I'm looking now, 30 boxes, and they fill up, and you have to rearrange all 30 to make room. If you have to buy an additional box, you know, you're grabbing books by the pile, and you're jamming them in there carefully, hopefully. But yeah, it is a dangerous game organization, but it's part of the business, part of the hobby.
Yeah, you know, I went through that same problem with especially like X-Men. So you have a collection of X-Men, and you have to plan ahead. You can't fill a short box and think that's all the X-Men space I'm going to have. Nope. You're going to get more. So you do have to leave space for future additions to the collection. But I agree with him. Every time you pull a book out of a long box, out of a short box, and put it back, you're risking blinding one of those corners.
Hey,
it's just back to life.
I remember when my Savage Dragon collection took up half a short box. Now we're on issue 260 something. And yeah, that's not the case anymore. But there you go. What's your first piece of viewer mail?
Yeah, my first piece of viewer mail is from Night Tiger Comics. How do you keep the ones you've already separated from the books needing to be read? I marked the back of my Mylite with a Sharpie. This is a good question because keep track. It's really funny. I typically read, and this is kind of sad. I typically read CBRs or CBZs of the comics instead of, which are digital versions of the comic, as opposed to opening my nice, brand new, very fragilely made Marvel comics. So if you've seen modern Marvel comics, the paper they use for the quality of paper is abysmal. It's one step above tissue paper. And so I typically don't read those. I will go and find, once I buy the original, I'll go get the digital version and read the digital version on my iPad. So it's easy to keep track of what I've read because the iPad marks as you read the books. So that's typically what I do. I don't say that I don't ever read physical comics. It's just for the majority of the books that I read on a regular basis, I will read the digital version.
I'll take you one step further than that. I don't even read the digital issues. I wait until there is a collection. Mm. And then I buy the collection digitally and I just read the whole thing at once. Because this is going to be an editorial rant. Strap yourselves in, folks. Storytelling has become so decompressed that I read an issue of Captain America and it's like he's having a conversation for half of the issue with someone. And then the plot moves forward a half an inch and then the issue's over. And by the next 30 days, I completely forgot what I read. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, he had a conversation with someone and moved half an inch last month. That's right. Whereas if I read a whole story arc at once digitally, it's a little better. What happened to plots?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. If there's for example, Something's Killing the Children, it's a great story. It's a great read, but it's chopped into these, 32 page segments that are difficult to keep continuity with as you're reading them 30 days apart.
Yeah.
We're
old men. We forget.
There's a beautiful anthology or collection of that book specifically that just came out. And I think it's a great way of reading the first 15 issues, the first story arc. You get all the books all at one time. You can read them from start to finish without having to wait and try to remember what's going on. So yeah, so definitely those are the best way.
That's how I read Walking Dead. I read it in omnibuses. One after the other, I just devoured them. Now, you mentioned Something Is Killing the Children. Did you get any House of Slaughters this week?
It's funny you should mention that, but I have a couple of the 1 in 50 copies right here.
Well, you're going to grab that. I grabbed one as well. The Nice House on the Lake homage, Hamage.
It is awesome. It looks awesome.
I bought every variant there was on the shelf. And I have a feeling everybody else did too. Mm-hmm. This was not an underordered book by any stretch, but I couldn't resist. I saw it in the window and I had to have it.
No, yeah, this definitely was not underordered. I think people were prepared this time. The people who followed, Tinian knew that this book was coming and they were waiting in the wings for it to show up. So yeah, I've got, like I said, these are the 1 in 50s. I've got a number of the other regular non-ratio books on order.
Did you get the 1 in 50s at your LCS, or did you get those by mail order?
Got a mail order.
Okay. I just wonder what your mercenary LCS charged you for them.
No, I didn't even try. I didn't even know if he got them, because I don't know if he ordered enough to get 1 in 50s. Oh.
All right. Well, my next piece of viewer mail is from Premium Comics, who is not a mercenary dealer. In fact, I like what he wrote here. We own an eBay store and organize the inventory of 25,000 comics as follows. Publisher, series, numerical, annual, and finally, random A to Z. Okay. For my PC, it consists only of CGC 9.8 copies, which I display in my office and in one short box. Well, smell you, Premium Comics. I'm jealous. I know you both have opinions about eBay sellers, but we have worked very hard to prove that there is a proper way to sell on eBay. Keep up the quality content, guys. Thank you. Let me be clear. I have no problem with eBay sellers.
Right.
I honestly don't. Some people that don't know how to grade. But reputable sellers with good feedback, and it sounds like you guys, Premium Comics, are on top of things. I would have no issue buy. I buy plenty from eBay. Yeah. I have a problem with eBay. I have a problem with selling on eBay, which is different than having a problem with eBay sellers. So I just wanted to make that very clear.
100%. I buy 80% of the books that I keep for the PC or going to resell or just – I buy them off eBay.
Yeah, you live in the country. I forgot.
Yes, I do. I don't have LCSs, you know, at the corner, you know, next to the grocery stores. So yeah, I buy a lot of books off eBay, and when I buy books off them, I buy them from dealers like you, people who have a reputable background, they've got a good feedback rating, and I buy all day and all, you know.
I have bought 3 Yellow Claw number ones off eBay. So I am not shy about buying from eBay.
Right, and I'm with John. It's not. Most of the sellers on eBay are reputable. There are some scumbags out there trying to sell facsimiles for originals.
Well, yeah, they're scumbags, but I don't even know if people that just don't know how to grade, you know, and they put up a book and they say, I'm not a professional grader, so use photos to judge for yourself, but then they're charging $50. Okay, then how did you come to that price, genius?
Right.
If you're not a grader.
For people like that, I always, you know, I assume that they're going to be, the book is going to be worse than the pictures.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'll take a look at it and I'll drop it down a grade and then offer something for it.
Oh, guys, trust your guts.
Oh yeah, all the time.
All right. I see a Tinkerballs. Is that a Tinkerballs?
He was butting up against the microphone.
All right. By the way, we now are on video on Spotify as well as YouTube. So if you guys listen to the show on Spotify, you now have an option to see the video. If you are watching on YouTube or Spotify right now, please take a look at how big Tinkerballs is. In the past 3-4 weeks, that cat is huge now. Remember when that was a little nugget?
Yes, he used to fit almost in the palm of my hand. Now he's a two-arm kind of cat.
He's a pig. All right, what's your next piece of your mail?
Okay, my next piece is from Peter Nuts.
Peter Peanuts.
Oh, Peter Peanuts. Okay. I have a few April books scheduled. We're talking about grading CGC books and the time frame it takes to get them back. I have a few April books scheduled for grading. Feels like you submitted during the great change. You're waiting a lot longer than if you submit now. So back in April, CGC decided they were going to change their pricing. They were going to eliminate certain benefits that their tiers got in terms of discounts. So there was a rush to beat the deadline that they put. So everybody submitted all their books all at the same time to try to get grandfathered in for the pricing and the discounts and things like that. So there's this glut of books. So if you submitted around that time, it probably takes even longer than the time that eBay or CGC is stating. The book that I have was a book that I bought in mid-July. It was a Invincible Iron Man number 1, second print, 9.8. It was in the labels did not say second print. All I wanted to do is get the label updated so that it said second print. So it was actually in the right census. So I contacted CGC. They said, oh, that's our fault. It's a mechanical error. We will send you a shipping label. It'll ship to us overnight. And I was like, great. Okay. So they gave me the label. I printed it out, stuck it on the box, shipped the thing off, showed up in, it got opened and, showed up as received on 7/23, 23rd of July. It has not moved since that day.
You got to call them because I had the Venom book and another book, I forget, a Wolverine book, mm-hmm. and they put the custom labels, they swapped them. So the Venom label was on the Wolverine book and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And they sent me a label. I sent it in. They turned it around for me in 2 weeks. You got to call them because something's going on.
It's crazy. It didn't need to be graded. Wasn't a damaged slab. All it was just an incorrect label.
I'm going to take you back to January 2020 when you and I are at California Comic Con, and I went to the CGC drop-off table with a book that needed to be reslabbed because of mechanical error where they slabbed it and the cover was bent from where they slabbed it too tight. Do you remember what that book was? Giant Size X-Men number one.
That was your 9.4 or 9.2?
It was my 9.4. I got it reslabbed. It looked great. They even pressed it out for me to correct the error. And I sold it for $3,400. All right. Happy endings for everyone. My next. So who's this on your shoulder now?
This is Bandit. This is my daughter's cat. And okay. You can go along. Keep going.
Bye, Bandit. Good cameo there. I love it. All right. My next piece of your mail is from Maddie. Guys, of all the drops on Vivi, the comic NFT platform, which comics do you think are worth buying in your expert opinion? Well, expert, thank you for the compliment. I would say what you like. And by that, I mean, if you're into X-Men and you were excited about House of X dropping on Thursday, yay, go buy it. I couldn't give two craps. I got excited about Avengers 8 with Kang. I got excited about Marvel Comics number 1. Richard got excited about Ultimate Fallout 4, obviously. So don't the pressure to buy everything is gone. There's just too much now. The drops are kind of way too frequent, if you ask me. And they just seem to be grabbing books randomly and throwing them up. Who wanted House of X number 1?
Yeah, it's some kind of Jekyll and Hyde thing. You know, they pick great books and then they pick random modern books, apparently.
I mean, where's AF-15, people? Where's Avengers 4? Where's Cap 100? Where's Cap 200? If you're asking what's in the marketplace now that you should buy, if you got the gems, Marvel Comics number 1 is probably far and away my number 1 pick because it is the first Marvel comic NFT. Not only is it the first Marvel comic ever, but it's the first Marvel comic NFT. And there's a dip right now. At one point, it was just under 100 gems. Now it's down to 60-some. Take advantage of this dip. If you've got it and you want to get something, I would grab that and hold on to it. A common's fine. You know, don't go for the secret rare unless you really want to go splurge. But stick with the common. And we got more with the comic NFT watch in just a few seconds.
Yeah, I totally agree with John. It's early. I would not try to buy one of each. That's the path of ruin. Pick the books that are significant to you. I sold my Fantastic Four 13 because I wanted. I got a ultra rare. I sold that. Used the gems that I got from that and a little bit of cash. A little bit meaning $300-$400.
Yikes.
I bought a secret rare Ultimate Fallout 4 just because that's my book. That's my jam.
All right. So when you guys make fun of me for being the NFT guy, let it be known that I have spent maybe a total of $100 combined on everything, where this guy over here is dropping coin.
Yeah, but I'm done. I mean, I can't think of another book that I wanted. The secret rare had the variant cover.
Yeah.
And I wanted that.
You've got it in every other format. Yeah. I totally understand. If Avengers 4 comes out, I'm going to have to scramble for an ultra rare myself. So I feel you. I got it. Fire up those modems. Drop your phone into the little receiver portion of your modem and enjoy the comic NFT watch. Here it is. Tuesday's drop was a bit of a mess, wasn't it, Richard?
Yeah, they had all kinds of problems with it. So many problems. They put out a press release to try to help clear up. So did you get caught up in any of that?
I did. I skipped the drop itself. First of all, it was Ultimate Fantastic Four number 21. First appearance of the Marvel Zombies. Speaking of books that, you know, I know why they did this. Mm-hmm. Because this weekend they have digital collectibles of the Marvel Zombies. There's a Spider-Man and a Captain America figure that are zombies that they're going to be selling as digital collectibles. So they kind of are priming the pump with you with this first appearance. However, they have put some anti-bot measures in place that made the drop just a mess for people. People were timing out. the usual wait for the buy now button and then click it, and you might get it. You know, people were getting multiples on the rebound, which is amazing. If you join some of the VV collectible groups on Facebook, you'll see some great stories and some horror stories. Some people got their accounts restricted. Other people were just stocking up on this Ultimate Fantastic Four 21. It gets even better. I bought one in the marketplace for like $8, like an hour later. I mean, it had not gone up that much. But we see the first big screw up here with VV. While it was Ultimate Fantastic Four number 21, if you went and read it and looked at the interior was actually the insides from the Ultimates number one, a completely different comic book. I don't know how this happened. Because I've been under the assumption that Marvel is providing the digital comic files to these guys. Uh-huh. So maybe Marvel screwed up, but why would you marry it with the wrong cover? It's all one file. I don't know.
There's no QA at all. The people, all you have to do is flip it to the first page and see.
I know. And David Yu, the CEO and co-founder, is a huge comics fan, but you know, people are busy. He's trying to get Ecomi on the, on the Bitcoin.
That's not a CEO's job. That's what a CEO hires people to do.
Exactly. Now, so you get an incorrect NFT. They have corrected this on the fly. They re-delivered the file. Should they have? Richard? opinions on this. You go ahead.
We do. I know your opinion is no, they should not have corrected it. It should have been considered an error edition.
Let me explain. What they should have done is just like when you have a misprinted comic book or a recalled comic. You guys know what happens. There's a reason why the comic gets recalled. They let people know, hey, it's a voluntary recall, retailers. You can send it back to us. We'll pulp all the ones you send us back, and we'll send you replacement copies. So they could have delivered this to the people that bought it, like a little pop-up within the app saying it. Hit yes if you want the replacement version or no if you want to keep your error edition. And then people who wanted the correct version would have gotten the corrected version. People that didn't get to keep their error version and they have a cool little extra collectible. But you say no.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
John, you ignorant. Got to say it. Go ahead.
I write iPhone and Android apps for a living. That's my primary source of income. I've been a software developer for a gazillion years. I have experience with what it takes to do what you're looking for. And it is definitely doable, but it's not something they could turn around within the short window of opportunity they have to take advantage of it. They've got to satisfy the customer, right? So an update to the app that would do what you want to do would be at least a month before you would see that update. They are trying to keep their heads above water. Their app is not scaling well, and you know the bots are an issue they're trying to address. All those kinds of things are, I think, more important than these kind of marketing opportunities that could come up. I would love to see them add that functionality to the app in the future, but I think this exposed that potential, and now they have to add that functionality for future drops.
And doing a little research, according to some online sources, they have 40,000 users. Imagine what's going to happen when the Disney stuff drops.
I can't even imagine. I would love to have just 40,000 downloads. That's what it is, right? People have downloaded the app.
Correct.
The percentage of people who download an app and use it, there's only a fraction of the people who use it on a regular basis. But even let's say if they all did, 40,000 people, and I could turn around, a couple of $1 million for a drop twice a week. That is a great return on your investment.
It is. You know what is interesting? Just talking shop talk, you and I, with apps, because we both do this for a living. Have you noticed they do not have any push notifications?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't. Again, I thought it might have been scale, but at 40,000, that's nothing. The app that I support, we have 4 million app installs out there.
Oh,
it's a big app.
It lives on two Amazon web servers.
So it's a big app. So I handle the push some of the push notifications, and it handles the notifications for that scale easily. So there is no reason why they can't, you know, technical reason why they couldn't implement something.
They don't even have, like, you know, that little nudge you guys get on your apps to say, you know, enable push notifications. So you're always in the know. I mean, they have done no marketing, which is good because they obviously don't need it. They're selling out in seconds. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen if they want to take it to that next level? I'm just not sure. So I'm along for the ride. I think it's fascinating.
You sold me to a certain degree. Obviously, I just dropped money buying one. But I still think they have a lot of growing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And I understand selling out every single time gives you a false sense of security, saying, "Well, I don't need the market because my customers are buying all my inventory as soon as it's available." But you know what? That well may run dry sometime. If you don't have something priming the next thing, you may find yourself in a situation where those customers are going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, they got to keep the excitement up in it, because even as bullish as I've been, I'm kind of like, I'm skipping this. I'm skipping this view. All right. Well, unfortunately, we do not have an Instagram Market Watch this week with Ali because he is busy getting ready for AtCon, and you should too. AtCon with Elite Comics 11. It's a virtual comic convention on Instagram. It takes place November 4th through the 7th with live sales, special guests, and giveaways. Make sure you are following Elite_Comics11 on Instagram. You'll get all the updates. I feel like I should be paid for saying this.
It did sound like a little like a commercial.
It's a live read on the podcast. Usually you get paid for those, Ali. So I will take a copy of Amazing Adventures number 1, 5.5, first appearance of Dr. Druid in my inbox, please. In return. No, we love Ali. We like to support him, so we don't mind at all. So we're going to be at AtCon. Also, if you guys are going to Comic-Con San Diego Thanksgiving weekend, let us know. We're going to be there. We'd love to meet up with you guys and hang out and have a drink and some curly fries. I don't know.
Curly fries?
I don't know.
I'm looking forward to California again. I'm looking forward to In-N-Out Burger and all the kind of fun stuff that's down there.
In-N-Out. That's the theme song to the little jingle, the In-N-Out jingle. Yes, we will definitely take you to In-N-Out again because we always do that. And make sure you are following us at Bronze and Modern Gods on Facebook and Instagram so you can see Richard and I and all of our In-N-Out adventures during the week. And In-N-Out adventures. I'll let you guys make you guys handle that.
What kind of show is this, John?
I'm going to keep moving on with my curly fries, and we will see you on Monday. Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, everybody, stay safe.